Good morning. I'm Tori. It's good to be here. Pastor Paul and Miss Wendy are at a conference, so hey. And Pastor Paul will be back next Sunday, but y'all doing good? It makes me feel better if you talk to me, okay? Thank you. So, gosh, everything from early worship and prayer to worship to now, like, Holy Spirit's just in everything, and I'm so thankful for that. Okay, we're going to do a quick recap, and then we're going to pray and get into the Word. So we've been in a series called Joyful, walking through Philippians, and last week Pastor Paul shared a powerful visual of how often things will come between us, get in the way of us and Jesus. Y'all remember that? Some of y'all volunteered for that, you remember? And he said, you know, we just need to step out and see Jesus, behold him, come close to him, because his word promises when we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. He comes close. He wants to walk with us. He wants to help us, right? And then I love that he also brought out in verse 13 that we can be honest with the Lord. Sometimes we don't have a desire, right, to be in the Word, to pray. We can be honest because Philippians 2:13 says that God is working in us, giving us the desire. He's so good that he even gives us the desire, giving us the desire and the power to do his will and what pleases him. So remember, the book of Philippians is written by Paul while he was in prison. I think we don't need to forget that part. He was in prison, and he wrote this letter to the church at Philippi. And as he's in prison, he's encouraging the church to remain joyful, stay in unity, stay in humility. He's thinking of the church above himself. Paul didn't just preach and leave. He walked with them. He prayed for them. He put their interests above himself. So today we're going to finish out Philippians 2, and we're going to start in verse 19. And I'm sorry I didn't give y'all the scripture. But if you got your Bible, yay. Kid City, they get, like, prizes for that. We could start that. Okay. Philippians 2, starting in verse 19. If the Lord Jesus is willing, I hope to send Timothy to you soon for a visit. Then he can cheer me up by telling me how you're getting along. I have no one else like Timothy who genuinely cares about your welfare. All the others care only for themselves and not for what matters to Jesus Christ. But you know how Timothy has proved himself, like a son with his father. He has served with me in preaching the good news. I hope to send him to you just as soon as I find out what is going to happen to me here. And I have confidence from the Lord that I myself will come to see you soon. Meanwhile, I thought I should send Epaphroditus back to you. He is a true brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, and he was your messenger to help me in my need. I am sending him because he has been longing to see you, and he was very distressed that you heard he was ill. And he certainly was ill. In fact, he almost died, but God had mercy on him and also on me so that I would not have one sorrow after another. So I am all the more worried, all the more anxious to send him back to you, for I know you will be glad to see him, and then I will not be so worried about you. Welcome him in the Lord's love and with great joy, and give him the honor that people like him deserve, for he risked his life for the work of Christ, and he was at the point of death while doing for me what you could not do from far away. So, Father, I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your love. Jesus, I honor you. I honor you in this place, in this house. You have said that your house is a house of prayer, and that's what this place is, Lord, a place of your presence. So I honor you, Jesus. I magnify you. I lift you high. That you would draw us all to yourself. Holy Spirit, I love you, and I thank you for the freedom that's in you, and I invite you now to come and have your way to minister and move and speak and convict and do whatever you want to do in every crevice of this place. And with the authority of Jesus Christ, I tell Satan, you have no voice and no influence in this place in the name of Jesus. Okay. So last week, the last point, and I want to say, when I was given this passage, I was like, okay, it's like a travel log. I mean, you know, but it's the Word of God. It's alive. It's active. There's always something there. Read it again and meditate on it. It's more than a travel log. But the last point Pastor Paul made last week, which he had 3 points, but then he went to the therefore, and it was just an awesome visual. But the last point was, we are to pour out our lives, not hold back our lives. So I just kind of want to tag on to that. And in verse 17 of last week's passage, Paul said he was being poured out as a drink offering. And Pastor Paul mentioned that the drink offering was the only offering where no portion was held back. It was poured completely out. And we are called to pour ourselves out and not hold back. In this passage, Paul's making sure that the church knows he longs to be with them, but he's restrained because he's in prison. And so he's telling them, you know, I hope to send Timothy to you. And we're going to focus in on verses 20 and 21. I have no one like Timothy who is genuinely concerned for your welfare. Listen to verse 21. All the others care only for themselves and not for what matters to Jesus Christ. So Timothy was known as genuine, selfless. He had a proven character. Paul talked about him as a son. He said, my son. And he trusted Timothy with those that he loved at Philippi. Paul also mentions Epaphroditus in this passage, and he calls him a brother, a fellow worker, a fellow soldier, and messenger. The church at Philippi sent Epaphroditus, their messenger, with money to help Paul in his time of need while he was in prison. And Paul said, I've got to send Epaphroditus back to you because he's concerned for you. Think about this. Epaphroditus was sick enough close to death, but Epaphroditus is concerned for the church because they heard he was sick. So he wants to go to them, comfort them, assure them that he's okay. I read that and I was like, that's just like a mama. I mean, not saying you daddies aren't, like, selfless, and y'all are. But a mama can be sick, and will take care of her kids, and will make sure that they know. Here's an example. I was big pregnant with Micah, and I was just walking down steps, y'all. And I heard crack, pop, boom, hit the floor. My foot just broke. Like, that's weird. It's weird. And I was pregnant. And Dalen was so little, and he was with me, and I'm, like, in excruciating pain. And he's like, Mommy, you know, I'm like, Mommy's fine. Can you please go get Daddy? You know, because I didn't want him to, I'm caring about him, right? So Epaphroditus made me think about a mama's heart. It was he the one that was close to death, but he was worried about the church. I've got to get back to them so they can know I'm okay. So I read this passage a lot, over and over. And I see three men, three followers of Christ, who were all genuine, selfless servants of Christ. They all suffered much, but they remained in true joy. They didn't just know about Jesus and teach about Jesus. They followed him. They knew him. They walked as he walked. They were sold out, all in, completely for the gospel of Jesus Christ. They had counted the cost, even prison and death, and determined Jesus is worthy of any and all cost. Salvation is a gift we freely receive, but following Jesus is costly. In Mark 10, Jesus is talking some about the cost of following him, and he's saying about those who leave their homes and their families and their lands with persecutions for his sake and the gospel's sake, they're going to receive 100-fold. And then in verse 32, it says that Jesus, he's saying all these hard things, and then he walks out to leave, and the next phrase has always stood out to me. It's talking about his disciples. It says, as they followed, they were afraid. It didn't say, they were afraid, so they were like, I'm just going to stay right here, Jesus. You go ahead. I'm freezing in panic right now. It didn't say they were afraid, so they turned back from following him. They were afraid, and they kept following him. Why? Where else would they go? Where else would they go? They also had counted the cost and settled in their souls. Yeah, Jesus is worthy of my obedience, of denying myself, of taking up my cross and following him. He's worthy. Discipleship is also costly and somewhat messy, but also very beautiful. Paul did not just preach and get people saved, only to drop them after conversion. He was all in with his personal walk with Christ and those that God gave him to disciple. Did you hear the way he introduced Timothy and Epaphroditus? He didn't say, I'm Timothy's mentor. I'm Epaphroditus' pastor or leader. He said, no, Timothy, my son. Epaphroditus, my brother, my fellow worker, my soldier. Discipleship is investment. It's pouring our lives out for people, walking with them in joy and sorrow. And often it becomes sweet friendship. And then they can pour into you too. I believe that's the way God intended it. I'm going to read Philippians 2:21 once again in the Passion Translation. It seems as though everyone else is busy seeking what is best for themselves instead of the things that are most important to our Lord Jesus Christ. These men, Paul, Timothy, Epaphroditus, they did not play church. They were all in for Jesus and also what matters to Jesus, the souls of people. They were not self-seeking, self-focused, self-elevating. In fact, they had died to self. What mattered to Christ is what mattered to them. They were devoted. They were invested because they had been entrusted. They had been entrusted with the gospel. And y'all, we have too. We have been entrusted with the gospel. 1 Thessalonians 2:4 says, for we speak as messengers approved by God to be entrusted with the good news. Our purpose is to please God, not people. He alone examines the motives of our hearts. We have been entrusted with the message of salvation, of grace, of freedom. We've been entrusted to be ambassadors, to represent Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:19 and 20 says, God has entrusted to us the ministry of opening the door of reconciliation to God. We are ambassadors of the Anointed One who carry the message of Christ to the world as though God were tenderly pleading to them directly through our lips. So we tenderly plead with you on Christ's behalf. Turn back to God and be reconciled to him. We can be so quick to share our own thoughts, our own opinions, our own complaints, recommendations, what we just heard on the news, right? And so hesitant to share Jesus. We have been entrusted with the best news ever, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And my question is, what are we doing with what we have been entrusted with? Listen to what Leonard Ravenhill wrote about Paul. Paul was sold out to God, every beat of his heart, every thought of his mind, every step of his feet, and every longing of his soul, all were for Christ and the salvation of men. Paul was able to pour himself out because Paul had encountered Jesus. And he knew, this man, Jesus, he's worthy of my whole heart, of my whole life. And he entrusted his life to God. 2 Timothy 1:12 says, Paul writes this, I know the one in whom I trust, and I am sure that he is able to guard, to keep what I have entrusted to him until the day he returns. My prayer for us as the bride of Christ is that God would deliver us from self. Amen. Self-focus, self-glory, self-pity, self-promotion. That he would deliver us from self and fill us with passion, with what matters to him most. And don't hear me wrong. You matter. We matter. But when our eyes, our heart, our thoughts, our focus, our desires are all on ourselves, that's a problem. It must be on our Lord and our King. We are seen, we are known, we are loved by Christ. We say that a lot here, and it's true. We are. And that should compel us to live like Him, to love like Him, to talk like Him, to walk like Him. If Jesus is our everything, if He's the Lord of our hearts and He's continually on our minds, why would He not be on our lips, y'all? Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? It's like in the book of Acts when they told Peter and John, you cannot, do not speak the name of Jesus anymore. And they're like, we cannot help but speak about Jesus and all that we have seen and heard. Like, what are you talking about? I don't care. You can put me at, we cannot help but speak about what we have seen and heard. Robbie Dawkins is a, y'all, have y'all ever heard of him? No. He travels to the Middle East quite frequently and preaches the gospel there pretty boldly. A place where Christians are harshly persecuted. And he was telling about believers in Iran and asking, the believers in Iran were asking why the church in the West, us, does not share their faith boldly. And Robbie said, because they're afraid. And they said, oh, will they be sent to prison for sharing their faith? And he said, well, no. And they said, oh, will they be beaten and tortured for sharing their faith? And Robbie said, no. And they said, oh, no, will they be killed for sharing their faith? He said, no. And they said, well, what are they afraid of? And Robbie said, they're afraid of being laughed at. And the Christians there in Iran began to weep. And they said, would you please tell the church in the West that Jesus is worth that? Actually, He's worth dying for. What is holding us back from trusting Him and pouring out our whole lives to Jesus and what matters to Him? It's time to wake up and take courage, rise up and fully follow Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15, for it is Christ's love that fuels our passion and holds us tightly because we are convinced that He has given His life for all of us. Are you convinced of that? This means all died with Him so that those who live should no longer live self-absorbed lives, but lives that are poured out for Him, the one who died for us and now lives again. We don't have time to play church. I know this is like, I want to bring like a happy, like it is the joyful series. I am joyful and I know this is heavy. But can I just say conviction is really good. It's a gift. Conviction is God wooing us back to Him, His first love. I'm convicted by this. We don't have time to play church. There's a whole generation. There's a whole generation that's looking for something real. They're looking for help, for truth, for love. They're asking, where do I belong? Why am I here? What is my purpose? And Jesus is the answer to all of those heart cries. How can we expect this next generation to rise up if we won't, church? I went this past week to a... My niece, she had a volleyball game, and I went and I sat in the same middle school gym that I played basketball in, and I was not very good at it, so I don't think, you know, I wasn't, but somehow I had, like, supernatural courage to try out, because I didn't do that, but anyway, I was sitting in the same gym that I remember playing basketball in, and I remember being on the bench a lot. And I remember being there like hoping and pleading and praying, please don't put me in the game. Please don't put me in the game. Please don't put me in the game. And I remember I would see the coach like step out and I would get as close to that wall. Please don't pick me. Please don't pick me. Please don't pick me. Why? I mean, I had practiced. I had done all the things, right? I had fear. I had fear of failure. I was bound in insecurity and intimidation. Gosh, I spent years like that. And I sat there and I thought, what would I say to that 12-year-old girl today? I would tell her, you're going to mess up. You're going to fail. You're going to feel like you're never ready. You're going to feel like you're not equipped. But you're on the team. You've been chosen for this moment. So get off the bench and rise up and get in the game. Don't let fear hold you back anymore. And that's what I feel like the Lord's saying to his bride. You're in. If you know me, get in the game. Rise up. Take courage. My husband, David, he comes across some like crazy situations. We laugh about it, but I also know it's not a coincidence. But I mean, he's like, he's broken up fights. Like we just happen to be places that things happen. He's broken up fights. He's rescued a child from an allergic reaction. Just crazy situations. But I really do believe it's because the Lord trusts David. And he knows that he'll stop and act and not just pass by. But several years ago, David came upon a really bad wreck that had just happened. The car was on fire, and a man was trapped inside yelling for help. So David and the guy working with him, they immediately ran to the car. They cut the seatbelt off the man, pulled him through the window, and saved his life. And I was thinking about that this week, and I was thinking, you know, how awful would it have been for David to see that and to hear that man's cries for help and to stand back and say, you know what, I'm going to call somebody more qualified for this, because I just don't feel equipped for this. You wait. Somebody else is going to come help you. I don't know that that man would have survived. There are people all around us crying out for help. It may not be as obvious as the man in the burning car, but they are. They're crying out for help. Will you fully follow the Lord and love and serve him by going to them? It's like in Jude it says to rescue and snatch them from the fire. Corrie ten Boom said this, when a house is on fire and you know there are people in it, it is a sin to straighten pictures in that house. We've got to be about what really matters. And we may never feel equipped, but we've been entrusted. We've been entrusted with the gospel that saves lives. It transforms lives. It restores souls and marriages and families. What are we doing with it? And he's entrusted us with it. We can pour ourselves out by continually returning to our source, and that's Jesus to fill us. It's like what Pastor Paul talked about last week, the circle of security. He calls us to himself, to be with him, behold him, see him, know him, and then he sends us out, entrusting us with his love to this world. Paul, Timothy, and Epaphroditus, I'm sorry. I've felt the fear of the Lord all week. He's coming back. Church, are we about our Father's business? I might need tissue. So I'm not. Thank you. Paul, Timothy, and Epaphroditus, they understood that God has held nothing back from us. God's held nothing back from you. Not his son, not his mercy, not his forgiveness. Jesus has held nothing back from you. Not his blood, not his life. Do you see him? Jesus. Held nothing back, so why would we hold back the lives, the very lives that he's given us, that he created us for his glory, for a purpose. And maybe it's because we haven't truly seen him. Maybe it's because we haven't truly embraced his love and salvation. Maybe it's because we've allowed distractions and idols to clutter our focus and we've lost sight of him and everything that matters to him most. I'm sorry. Stop crying. Okay. When we see Jesus, help me, Lord. When we see Jesus and we behold him and we fully receive his love, we'll be compelled to share him, to serve him by serving others, to invest in souls. We will see that everything this world offers could never compare to our Jesus. I'm telling you, the competition for the throne of our hearts will end when we see him, when we behold him, when we know him. Do any of you remember, worship team, you probably know this. Do you remember this older song? I don't know how old it is, but I'm not going to sing it. But it says, Lord, you are. You know. Yeah. I know y'all know it. Lord, you are more precious than silver. Is he precious to you? Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds. And then that last line says, nothing I desire compares with you. I had a vision. And I'm just going to tell you, if you will spend time in the presence of the Lord, put on some worship music, come to early prayer at 8:15 on Sunday morning, sit with the Lord. He will show you things. When your heart is open to him, he will speak to you. He's always speaking. We're the ones that are distracted. But I had a vision one Sunday morning during early prayer and worship, and I saw a person, and he was just weighed down with like this, which is so many things, idols in his arms and hands, and just weighed down with things that he had put before the Lord and just weighed down. Can y'all picture it? And he was standing. There was a valley in front of him. And on the other side of the valley was Jesus. And he looks like this. And Jesus is over here with a big smile, with both arms wide open. And Jesus is beckoning, just look up. Look up. Look at me. Look at me. And the man finally looked up and saw Jesus and wanted to come to him and wanted to be embraced by Jesus. But his arms, his hands were so full of just nothing that mattered, idols and junk. But the longer the person looked at Jesus, the longer beheld his glory, he realized, this is nothing compared to him. What am I doing? And he dropped it in the valley and ran and embraced the Lord. In the Old Testament, there was a place called the Brook Kidron, or the Kidron Valley, where good and righteous kings would go and cleanse the land of all the idols. They would have an encounter with the Lord, and they would be done with the idol worship. And they would tear down the idols, and they would throw them in this valley. Jesus, in John 18, on his way to the Garden of Gethsemane, on his way to the cross, it says that Jesus crossed over the same valley where all those idols were thrown down into, once and for all, crushing under his feet things that would try to steal our affections and our devotion. Why would we hold on to anything that he's already defeated? What are we holding on to that is holding us back from fully following Jesus and what that looks like? Your calling, your purpose. What's holding you back? What's keeping us from being all in, sold out to Jesus Christ? And what's keeping us from boldly sharing the gospel with those that are lost and broken and dying? Have we forgotten our own rescue story? Have we forgotten how Jesus saved and delivered us? I don't think Paul ever forgot how Jesus sought him out. This man who was killing Christians, God sought him out and encountered him, and Jesus forgave him and set him free. Paul never forgot that. He talks about it several times. He tells people about it over and over. Are we doing that with our own lives? He never forgot the love and mercy that Jesus has shown him, and that compelled Paul to tell everyone he came in contact with about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Are we willing to throw off everything that hinders us from fully following him? To throw those idols down, to cast them down, be done with them, to cut ties with anything that's pulling us away from Jesus. Because he's worthy. He's worthy of all of us. He's worthy of our whole hearts, our whole lives. Are we willing to stop holding back our lives and start spending them, pouring them out for Jesus? And it's not about trying harder and doing better. Just stop that. That's not what it's about. It's about beholding him. It's about seeing Jesus. And we've said that several times already this morning. It's about beholding him and knowing him, being with him. And I'm telling you, in that place of intimacy, idols don't stand a chance. Excuses and fear, they don't stand a chance in his presence. We will be compelled to live for him fully, to share him, to obey him. This morning, I want to give you an opportunity to respond to Jesus. Because he's here. And they have a song in the back that they'll play, but you don't have to wait for a song if he's speaking to your heart. Would you come lay everything down? It doesn't really matter. Lay it down. If you know someone that's lost, would you stand up? Sometimes that makes it easier for people around you. If you know somebody that's lost, come to the altar and pray for them. Because time's running out. Pray for them. And then pray for yourself to have courage and an opportunity to share him. And if you don't know Jesus, today's the day of salvation. Eternal life is to know him. I spent years playing church and living for myself. And then I surrendered to him. And surrender and freedom, that's where you'll find your destiny, your calling. Come, give it all to him today. Don't move from where you're at. Don't move from where you're at. I feel like the Lord wants to do two things, and I'm just going to obey. On the drive-in this morning, I felt like the Lord was showing me someone that something has happened to you in your past as a child, and you just cannot let it go. Today is the day to forgive. I'm going to tell you, forgiveness does not mean that whatever was done to you was okay. Forgiveness, when we forgive, it sets us free. I want to pray for you, if that's you, that you can forgive and release and walk in freedom, no longer bound to anything in your past. So God, I don't know who that's for, but you know who that is, God. I pray over those with past pain and trauma, wounds in their hearts, even from childhood, God, They've carried it so long, and today is just enough. God, give them courage. Give them strength to lay it down and forgive. We choose forgiveness. We choose Jesus. We choose life and freedom so that we're no longer bound but can walk free in all that you have for us. Oh, God, unlock hearts with your key of forgiveness today. In Jesus' name. And I also just feel prompted to share the simple gospel. Like I said earlier, I spent many years playing church, saying a prayer, thought I was good, and I just lived for myself. I did not know him until I encountered him, and then I saw my need for him, and I've never been the same. Surrender in any other area means defeat, but in God's kingdom, it's victory, and it's freedom. And through that door of surrender and freedom is your destiny. It's your calling. God's dreams for you are way bigger than you could ever imagine and what you have for yourself. It's time to step in. Rise up. Take courage. Be the sons and daughters that you were created to be. Jesus came for you. He died on the cross for your sin, for my sin, for our shame. We don't have to walk in shame anymore. And he rose from the grave, and he lives today. He's alive. He's so alive. And he wants to live inside of you and have a personal relationship with you. I'm not even going to call you out, but I'm going to lead in a prayer of salvation. And if you pray that, would you be bold and just share it with somebody? Yep, that was me today. And start your walk with Christ. If that's you, pray with me. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner and I have sinned against you. And today I say I'm sorry. And I ask you for your forgiveness. Forgive me, Lord, for my sins. Make me holy, make me pure, make me clean. Only you can do that, Jesus. Jesus, come and save me today. Save me, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. And now you are my Lord. And I will serve you and I will live for you. In Jesus' name. Again, if you prayed that, tell somebody. I'm going to pray us out, and you're welcome to leave, but you're also welcome to come and just be with him and pray too. God, you're so good, and you're so faithful. We say that all the time, like you're so good, but like there's no darkness in you. You're only good. That's all you can be is good. And you're faithful, and you're true, and you're righteous. Why would we not give you all? So today, Lord, let it be marked on your calendar. We gave it all. Lord, you can have it all. We surrender today and every day, Lord, to you. Have our hearts, have our minds, have our lives, have the way we spend our time. God, we cast down all idols and distractions and attachments and addictions. We don't want it. We just want you, Jesus. We just want you. That's true life. That's true freedom. We declare that today. You are Lord, Jesus. We love you. We love you. Fill us afresh, Holy Spirit, with just your fire. Would you stir that in us this week? Give us opportunities to share our faith boldly, Lord, with love and truth, just like you, Lord. Oh, God, that we would not walk past the table of communion with you, that we would behold you and be with you and love you and know you. transform us. Make us look like you, Jesus, and talk and walk and love like you. We love you. In Jesus' name.